you. Good to praise our Lord with you. So today we look at a question that's been around for a long time. It's been swinging around in people's minds. It's been written in music. In fact, Hadaway in 1993 wrote the song, "What is Love?" What is love? The question is, in fact, much older than that. It spans generations. Some have started to think that love comes from an angel shooting them with an arrow. Some from rose petals scattered around. Some from candles lit. And others from where you'll go to dinner on the 14th. By the way, guys, it's about Valentine's Day. You know, growing up, I thought that love was maybe what Hercules had for Meg, what Cinderella had for Prince Charming, what Simba and Nala had. Just maybe. That's what you get when you listen to Timon and Pumbaa. Throughout my life, there's been many times where I thought I had a better understanding of what love truly was. What it means to love your family. What it means to love a friend like a brother. And this last year and a half, getting to experience the joy of committing to love someone for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. Even with that, at times the question still comes to mind of what is love. We start to move to Scripture, and we see the answer begin to be presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You may have heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter in the Bible. Today, I won't argue with you. In this section of Scripture, we see from Paul how we are to love. Paul had just gotten done talking about unity and diversity all within the church, all within the body of Christ. And he's reminding the Corinthians that even though there are people who get on our nerves, God calls us to love even them. Not just the romantic interests, but everyone. So let's take a look this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will be ceased. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." There are many parts and pieces to this passage of Scripture. Many different things that the Bible says love is. I want to take a couple weeks to just unpack what all is here. We'll look at many of the different parts of what it says love is, what it means to love, what love looks like. But for today, I want to focus on two big themes that's found within this chapter in 1 Corinthians. You know, as we looked at it last week, we saw that the way that we love, or the type of love that we can have, varies. From pie to puppies to people, all of these different ways, all of these different things we can love differently. But today I don't want to look at as much the form that love takes, but I want to look at what love really does, what love really is. And the first thing that love is that love is binding. Love truly is binding. It really brings people together. It brings us together in amazing ways. It brings us together every 2 years with the Olympics, bringing together nations, bringing together America, all to cheer for one team, all for the love of competing, bringing us together. It brings us together in multiple ways in stadiums across the country. Love for a school or love for a sports team that pack people in, 90,000 people into one stadium. It happens at concerts when everyone shoulder to shoulder huddled together trying to sing way off key to their favorite song. Love is what brings you home for the holidays. Love is, in fact, in a greater sense, what brings us all here this morning and each week. Knowing that we are loved by our Creator, and the love that we have for our Creator, the love that we have for our church family, brings us together even through how many inches of snow. Love fills a man's heart so full that it is the reason that he will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. It's the love that bound Paul to chains for preaching the gospel, and is the love that caused Christ to bind himself to humanity, to be willing to be a willing sacrifice. Ephesians 4 tells us that it was because of love that Christ came down. And the only way for us to find unity and maturity is coming back first to Him. Apart from His love and apart from His word, we find confusion and chaos. But there, starting with the 14th verse of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together, bound together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Love weaves us together, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." In that verse, we are directed and we are pushed to love. To walk alongside each other, even when those times call for forgiveness, when they call for compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, and even where patience is required, put on love that binds us together. We see that. We see that when we push on, when we bind ourselves together in love, even through the good times and the bad, it starts to bring in what the next side of love that we see is. We see next that love is unconditional. True love, there is no condition to it. There is no, I will love if there is love. There is no, I will love you when there is love. Says it in verse 8, love never fails. I want to tell you today that true love never ends. Love isn't contingent on the person being good enough. Love isn't contingent on the person filling all of your expectations, though love will often exceed your expectations. Love doesn't depend on acts of affection, although with love, there will be those actions. Love doesn't keep a score of how many times you did better or they did worse, even though there may be plenty of chances. Love doesn't take sides, but love reaches across lines. So much so that in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus tells us, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Let me tell you, that can only come from true love. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That's a love that says, I know where you stand and I know where I am. There may be a gap between us, but I'll choose today to fill that gap with love. Once again, where Jesus asks us to act, He's already been there. He stood with the Father, perfect, flawless, without sin. There's a gap between Him and humanity. We were once enemies because of our sin. By our own choice, we drew battle lines. We created separation, trying to run from a God that just wanted to bring us close. And in our separation with the gap ahead, instead of Jesus saying, you can stay over there, you can stay separated, you can make your choice, I'll just leave you. Instead, He reached out His hand and brought us closer, brought us together, filled that gap with love, the love that would bring Him to the cross. Jesus came behind enemy lines. He filled the gap and He filled the hole that the world is searching for. He filled it with the love that only He could bring. Christ did it first. He put an emphasis on the parts of verse 7 that says, love always. Because it didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter what we had done. It didn't matter what the soldiers nailing Him to that cross did. Jesus chose in His love to always protect, always trust, always hope. And with every step that Jesus took on this earth, His love always persevered. Love keeps going. Past our sins, past our mistakes, past our failures. In these verses, there's something that true love inherently is, and that truly is never ending. And we always remember that there is no greater love. The greatest love is that of the love that Christ had for us. You know, it says all of these things about great faith, great accomplishments, great abilities in the first few verses of this chapter. But over and over, if you don't have love, what does it matter? But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. What are we without love? And what are we without the greatest love who ever came? The love that Christ had for you and the love that Christ had for me. The love that took Jesus to the cross and the love that Jesus asked us to share with one another. The love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. I want you to know that Jesus loves you today. Will you choose today to have a love that puts others first? Will you choose today to have a love that is unconditional? A love that reaches across lines, a love that binds us together. This week, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to show love. But will it be the love that Christ had for you and I? The love that one will give his life for a friend. If you've never experienced the love that Christ has given you by committing to him in baptism, giving your life as an act of love, as a living sacrifice, we would love for you to come forward. And during this next song, talk to me, or after services today, find one of our elders. We'd love to talk to you with what it means to love. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you today. Lord, all we have is your love. Without love, we realize that we're nothing. Nothing but a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong, Lord, just white noise. Lord, but with you, with the love that you gave us, we are yours. We are healed. We are clean. We have no fear of the punishment because perfect love drives away fear. Lord, we come to you today humbly, ready to receive what you have freely given. Lord, help us to go out. Help us to be a reflection of your love this week to all those that we come in contact with. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. It's in your Son's precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us?